Our scripture this morning comes from Genesis 16. Hear these words from our Lord. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, but she had an Egyptian slave named Hagar. She said to Abram, "The Lord has kept me from having children. Go, sleep with my slave. Perhaps I can build a family through her." Abram agreed to what Sarai said. So after Abram had been living in Canaan 10 years, Sarai, his wife, took her Egyptian slave Hagar and gave her to her husband to be his wife. He slept with Hagar, and she conceived. When she knew she was pregnant, she began to despise her mistress. Then Sarai told to Abram, "You are responsible for the wrong I am suffering. I put my slave in your arms, and now that she knows she is pregnant, she despises me. May the Lord judge between you and me." "Your slave is in your hands," Abram said. "Do with her whatever you think best." Then Sarai mistreated Hagar, so she fled from her. The angel of the Lord found Hagar near a spring in the desert. It was a spring that is beside the road of Shur. And he said, "Hagar, slave of Sarai, where have you come from and where are you going?" "I'm running away from my mistress Sarai," she answered. And the angel of the Lord said to her, "Go back to your mistress and submit to her." The angel added, "I will increase your descendants so much that they will be too numerous to count." The angel of the Lord also said to her, "You are now pregnant. You will give birth to a son. You shall name him Ishmael, for the Lord has heard your misery. He will be a wild donkey of a man. His hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand against him. And he will live in hostility towards all his brothers." She gave this name to the Lord who spoke to her, "You are the God who sees me." For she said, "I have now seen the one who sees me." This is why the well was called Beer Lavoi. It is still there between Kadesh and Bered. So Hagar bore Abram a son, and Abram gave the son the name Ishmael, who she had born. Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore him Ishmael. This is the word of the Lord. So Abram and Sarai are people that we hear a lot about in the church. At the beginning of the Bible, we meet them. And we are still hearing about Abraham and Sarah at the very end. We sing songs about Abraham and Sarai, marching along, talking about how we are his sons and daughters. But in this story, we are introduced to another character as well, Hagar, their slave. We can't just start here. We need to have a little bit more background knowledge about who Abram and Sarai are and what brought them here to this place and to this decision to use Hagar to have a child. You see, Sarai was barren. And years ago when they lived in Haran, God spoke to Abram, and said, "I am calling you to leave the land that you are in, and I will give Sarai a child. And you will have numerous descendants, but you must trust me and leave." So Abram and Sarah did. They left their homeland, their family, and they set out. And they prayed and waited for this child that God had promised. But now, when we begin our text today, it says they've been in Canaan for 10 years and still no child. They're still waiting on this promised child to come. And for Sarai, a woman in the ancient Middle East, this is a great shame. Her most important role is to give Abram a child, an heir. And if she can't do that herself, well, culture says that she has to find a way to get him an heir. Enter in Hagar, her slave. And so after 10 years of waiting, Sarai decides she has to do something. So tells Abram to lay with Hagar so that they can finally have an heir. Because since Hagar is Sarah's property, the child that Hagar bore, that she gives birth to, won't be her own, but will belong to Sarai. And it may not seem like a good idea to us, And we'd be right, it doesn't work out well. Because the minute that Hagar is pregnant, what the whole plan revolved around happening, things instantly go bad. Hagar begins to despise Sarai. She's not being treated well. They're just like, slave girl this, slave girl that. And Hagar is over it. So Sarai calls in Abram, do something. This is all your fault. Even though it was Sarai's idea. And Abram washes his hands and says, nope, I'm out. Do with her what you must. I don't know what he was thinking, if he thought that Sarai would be just or merciful, but she wasn't. And she mistreated Hagar even more so that Hagar fled. She wasn't wanted where she was. She was just the means to an end. She wasn't important. They didn't see her. She got no say in the choice with if she even wanted to have a child. No one asked her. It was her duty, her job, a surrogate without a choice. And Abram and Sarai didn't care about her, except for what she could do for them. And so she had enough, and she left. She couldn't take it anymore, being silenced and unimportant. Maybe you have felt like Hagar, like people were just stepping over you at every turn. Maybe even like Sarai and Abram, who are just longing for something that has been promised to you and it has not come. When is God's promise going to come true in your life? Because see, no one in this story is happy. Abram and Sarah have longed for a child that has been promised to them, and it seems like it's never going to come true. And they try to find a way to do it, a way that society says is fine. You're supposed to use your slave for this purpose. That hurts Hagar even more. Because see, they're so blinded by their own suffering that they can't even see the suffering that Hagar is in. And maybe you've been there. So blinded by your own pain and so overwhelmed by just all the pain that there is around you that you miss the pain of your neighbor right next to you. We live in an extremely globalized world. You read the news and you see things about Iran and Australia and the devastating wildfires and the millions of animals that have been lost. We read our local news and see shootings and it seems like this is so much. If I have to worry about all of that, how can I worry about the people next to me? It's hard. Not even considering the fact that we all have our own stuff that we're going through. It's a new year, but the problems of 2019 didn't just disappear. There are bills to be paid. There are sicknesses that we are fighting through, family problems that we have to deal with. And sometimes what we have to do is so hard that we can't even think about the person next to us and what they're going through. There's a Netflix series called Alexa and Katie, which is about two high school girls navigating high school after Alexa is diagnosed with cancer. And in one episode, they are stressed out about the future of college. And Alexa doesn't want to write her college essay about having cancer because she wants to be known as more as the girl with cancer. And she's freaking out the entire episode. And Katie is stressed out because she doesn't think she can pay for college if she can even get in. And so the whole episode, they're both in their own heads just going crazy, and they're bickering and fighting because they're so in their own pain, in their own stress, they miss what the other one is going through. So these best friends are unintentionally harming each other because they don't take the time to see and listen to the pain that the other one is going through. Maybe you've been there. Been in a place where your pain was so much you couldn't take 1 ounce more. You felt alone, like no one understood. A little bit like Hagar, you just had to run away and get out, away from everything. And as Hagar flees from Abram and Sarai, she finds herself at a spring. She's pregnant, a foreigner. And someone approaches her, an angel of the Lord. And for the first time in this text, someone calls her by her name. Hagar, slave of Sarai, what are you doing here? Where are you going? He addresses her as a person first. And then speaks words of comfort. See, God comes to Hagar in her time of need. This is not Hagar's God. She is a foreigner. The God of Abraham was not a God she would have prayed to, but God comes to her still. God sees her and addresses her pain. He says, the child that you are carrying, this is his name. It shall be Ishmael, for God hears. God has heard your cry. She was crying out, and God came down to be with her in her pain. So the world didn't see her as important, but God saw her as important. God saw her as a child of his. And then God gives her a prophecy about her child's future, a prophecy that echoes so similar to the one that he gives to Abram, that she will have a son and he will be a great nation, that her descendants will be too numerous to count. For a slave that was never even supposed to have a child that would ever be considered her own, this is a blessing. God is giving a blessing over her life. The world said she wasn't important. God said she was. And God sits with her in her need. He hears her and listens. And it's very fitting that after we celebrated Christmas, we think about how God comes down and is with us as well. See, God not only came to Hagar, we serve the same God that came to Hagar and also came to us, who lived a life so that he could know us better and sent his son, who then welcomed in the Spirit who is with us all every day. We feel alone sometimes, but our God is always with us. And our God has not abandoned us or left us alone. See, God knows our name. And it's a little silly to think about it sometimes. I was with my friends a couple weeks ago out to dinner. My friend Jay was sharing about how he had been asked to pray 3 times that week at every single like small group or Bible study thing he went to. He was like, every time, it was Wednesday. He said, I've prayed 3 times out loud this week at every group I've been at. He goes, I don't know why they keep asking me. I don't think I'm that good of a prayer. And his wife says, well, it's probably because you're so tall, so they think you're closer to God. He's like 6'3". He's very tall. And then she goes, you're so tall, God even probably knows your name. And we all looked at her, and we said, well, God does know his name. God knows all of our names. And she was like, oh yeah, I forgot. God knows us. And she goes, it's kind of crazy to think that the God who created the universe knows our name. And I was like, that is really weird to think about when you think about it. How often have you met someone and 5 minutes later you've forgotten their name? Super awkward. And God, he has never forgotten your name. See, God knows your name, and he loves you. God sees you and cares for you. It's a wild concept that is so profoundly true, something to hold on to. See, God doesn't just know your name. He knows you intimately and deeply. He knows the fears that you can verbalize and the tears that you cry when there are no words yet to come. And God sits with you in your pain and in your to come around you as well. Because we don't do this alone. Is one that is united, and we are stronger than one person. God came with Hagar on the side of the road and sent someone to be with her physically. Because the physical presence of another sometimes means more than anything else. Many of you knew Alice, who passed away recently. Probably at her funeral. A funeral where there were so many people in attendance. God so deeply and cared for those around her. Imagery. Because the body of Christ doesn't just gather on Sunday mornings, but it meets at Bible studies in the week, at houses over meals. The doctor says that the test results came back. Listening to the prayer line and praying over the people who you hear just need extra prayer. Greeting each other on Sunday mornings on a very long and vibrant greeting time. And asking questions about, how has your year been? How was your Christmas? And giving honest answers back and listening to it. Because see, in the church, you don't just need to say, oh, everything's fine, and sugarcoat it. You can be honest and real with your brothers and sisters in Christ. Because the Holy Spirit equips us to walk alongside life with each other. God gives us his eyes so that we can see each other fully and truly. We don't need to hide our pain, for God has opened up our eyes that we can see pain and see joy. We serve a God who sees us and who equips us to see each other as well. The start of a new year and a new decade. The future may look very uncertain to you. Oakdale's in a time of transition. What comes next? I don't know. But God knows. God has seen this church, and God sees the future, and God is walking with us into what is to come. The same God is here with us today. And will be here with us through all the changes that are to come. Through search committees and interviews and having preachers come. God will be present through it all. Because God has seen Oakdale. And God cares and loves for the church. His church. And in your own life, the future may look uncertain. There are many things this next year that are terrifying. Things that you don't know how you can handle. But God is with you as you go forward into the future. God is bringing brothers and sisters in Christ to walk with you through this as well. God sees you and wants you to know that you are loved, that you are his child, and that you are not alone. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for being a God who knows our name, who sees all of us. God, we praise you for being true to who you are day after day after day. And that every year your mercies and blessings remain true and you remain faithful. And we ask that as we enter into this new year, that you continue to be our guide and our source of comfort. We ask that this church continue to grow into who you have called us to be, and that we continue to walk and support each other along the way, lifting each other up in your name, God. We pray this all. Amen.